Hello? Hello? Hello?
Peter? Peter?
Hello?
Peter, it's me, Joe Frank.
You're not Joe Frank.
I'm trying to pretend I am. Go with it. You need the time.
I don't need anything from you, Peter. I know who you are.
Peter, pretend you're not me.
Whatever.
I'm on a commuter train. It's going slow. I'm staring out at the New York City skylines, junkyards, traces of fog here and there, the yellow lights, the orange glimmers from outhouses.
Do you have something to tell me, Joe, Frank, Peter, Gullerud, whatever?
Don't say whatever, you sound like a valley dude.
Whatever.
So, I'm on this commuter train, right? Don't even answer me. I'm talking like
you're Joe Frank.
Thanks, I'm listening to that. And this girl comes on the train. She must be like, I don't know, 15 or 16 years old, maybe.
I don't think I really care.
And she's beautiful, Peter.
Okay, she's a beautiful young girl. Okay, whatever.
Except for one thing.
What's that, Joe Frank, Peter Gullerud, whatever?
She has a cleft palate on her upper lip. But the real bad kind, the kind you would notice. How do I say this? In one of those ads in a magazine for Africa.
The cleft palate charity doctors?
That's right. She never looks at me. She looks out the other side of the train through her own window as her own fog, yellow lights, orange lights, New York City skyline continues on.
Is this story going anywhere, Joe? Peter?
Whatever. So I go to the other train car. And I see a man who looks like he's from some kind of a freak show from a 1940s circus or something, okay?
Okay, like I'm really with you.
And he's a Siamese twin, Peter. He's a Siamese twin, and he looks at me.
Okay, so there's two of them. Don't say he, say they.
Thanks, I haven't written this out. I'm kind of winging it tonight. I'm tired.
Fine.
And he looks at me and he says, have you talked to Peter tonight, yesterday? And is the battery holding out on his portable recorder?
Don't worry about that. Just cut to the chase, will you?
And I say, not yet.
And
he says, why don't you talk to him tonight? So that's why I'm on the phone with you tonight, talking to you about your show.
You mean Trail Mix?
Trail Mix.
What about it, Joe?
Thanks for playing along. Tell me something, Peter. Do you really intend to keep this going when every single show has had a reference to 1950s sex talks from records? Women talking to their little girls about menstruation, young fathers talking to their little boys about wet dreams.
I don't know. I mean, it's public domain stuff, and it's funny.
You think it's funny, Peter. Other people think you are obsessed.
What do you mean?
Let me ask you something, Peter. Would you ever play these shows to your family?
Obviously not. I mean, I haven't yet.
Am I answering my own question?
I didn't even know.
You can't even finish your sentences or your questions.
Joe, is there something you'd like to say to me? Because I'm tired, it's late, and I'm hanging up.
Why don't you try a trail mix that's G-rated with no sexual undertones, with no sarcastic references to the 1950s attempts at telling kids how their parents how to tell kids about sex? Would that be too hard to do, Peter? Could you be funny and G-rated at the same time?
Well, I don't know, Joe, Frank. I don't know. I guess I could try.
Can I give you an idea?
I mean, I don't get paid for this. Go ahead, sure. I mean, eat up some more time, Joe. Let's get some commuter train sound effects in this while we're at it.
Not a bad idea. I found a YouTube video of Mr. Rogers. Since I know you like cars so much and milking, why don't you YouTube the words Mr. Rogers visits cows and see what you come up with?
I just might do that, Joe Frank Gullery. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe. I mean, thank you, Peter. The Siamese twin wants to call the girl with the cleft palate back here, and we're going to have some very deep conversations, Peter, something you're not attuned to, I'm afraid. But maybe someday.
Oh, I would welcome the time you welcome me, Joe, Frank.
No, you have to say that with a monotone voice and kind of the same syllabic tone, or it won't work.
Joe, Frank.
Thank you, Peter. Try it. YouTube him. It's very charming and kind of cute. It might make people chuckle. It's G-rated. You won't be talking about wet dreams or sperm or women's ovaries or menstruation cycles and so forth. You might even be able to play it for your family.
Oh, thank you, Joe. Thank you.
Whatever. Good luck. So, Hank, Tom, how long have you been connected? Well, okay. Susan, you mumble.
Would you be mine? Could you be mine? I have always wanted to have a neighbor just like you. I've always wanted to live in a neighborhood with you. So let's make the most of this beautiful day. Since we're together, we might as well say, would you be mine? Could you be mine? Won't you be my neighbor? Won't you please, won't you please, please won't you be my neighbor? Hi, television neighbor. I'm glad we're together again.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Well, we'll be over in just a little bit. Yes, I want to tell my neighbor first. All righty. Bye-bye. That's Jane Henshaw. She's a woman who works at the dairy farm in our neighborhood. Takes care of cows and all kinds of products there. And I thought we'd just go over there today and see some of the cows and see where people get milk to drink. Come along to the neighborhood dairy farm. Thank you. So here we are at the dairy farm. I'd like you to meet Jane. She's right over there. Jane, is it all right if I come in?
Oh, come on in.
Okay. Hello.
Hi, Fred.
Jane. I'd like you to know my television neighbor. This is Jane Henshaw. I hear the cows going moo.
Oh, they are being noisy today.
I don't think I've ever been around so many cows, at least this close.
Cows are very gentle. They wouldn't hurt you.
They wouldn't?
No.
Think I could try to...
Well, sometimes they're a little bit shy.
Are you too shy to come to me? Too shy? Pretty shy.
A little bit shy today.
They're awful big, too.
Oh, cows are very gentle.
You mean they won't bite?
Oh, no, they only have teeth on the bottom. They have no teeth on top like you and I have.
Just here?
Uh-huh.
Well, what kinds of things do they eat? They use their teeth to eat, don't they?
Oh, sure. They eat hay, corn, oats, and wheat, and they eat ground-up corn, which is called silage. And they also eat grass out in the pasture.
Do they like it out here?
They love it outside.
Oh, I bet.
You might notice that the brown ones are Golden Guernsey cows. They give very rich milk. And the black ones are called Holsteins.
Mm-hmm. Some are brown and white and some are black and white.
Mm-hmm.
Guernsey and Holstein. Do they like to be milked?
I don't think they mind at all.
Well, maybe we could go see them
Well, let's
getting
do
milk.
That right okay. here in the barn. We'll go this way.
Oh, man, split the breezes, you mule hip cayuses! Well, hey there, doggy dreamers. It's that time of the week again, kids. It's that time of the month, ladies. It's that time when all us mountain men, women, and children round up the cattle, get back home, and get ourselves some vittles and lovin'. Woo-hoo! Yes, sirree. It's time for Peter Gunther's Trail Mix.
Hi.
They are shy. This room's called the milking parlor, and this is where we milk our cows.
Milking parlor? Well, hi.
Fred, I'd like you to meet Ann Bauer. She's our herdswoman.
Meet you, Ann.
Hi, Fred.
Well, herdswoman. That's the woman who takes care of the herd of cows, I guess.
Yeah.
Would you show me how you actually milk the cow?
Sure. I've just washed this cow's udder and have it all clean.
Mm-hmm.
And now I put the milker on.
And this is called the milker.
Yeah, this is the milking claw.
Does that hurt?
No.
Put that on?
It's just a gentle sucking. Feels like someone's squeezing their hand. Squeezing it with their hand.
You mean like this?
Yeah.
Hmm.
That's just the way it is.
Oh, and it's already coming in.
Sure.
Well, now, this isn't part of the cow, is it?
No, this is a jar that holds the milk when it comes out of the cow.
Oh, my, look at it filling up there. We'll be right back. how far does this go out?
Don't throw about here.
Jane, what do we have over here?
That's Springcomb Pete. He's visiting from the Trail Mix farm, and he thought he'd say hello to your television neighbor.
How nice. Shall we go over and say hello to Mr. Pinecone Pete? Let's see if he'd like to meet my neighbor. Hello? Oh, he's shy too.
No, he's just milking his Holstein, kind of like the old-fashioned way. He'll be glad to talk with you, I'm sure.
Oh, good. Hello there. I'm Fred Rogers. And this is my neighbor.
Well, Mr. Rogers, I'm so happy to meet you. Jane and Ann told me you'd be stopping by for a visit, so I brought my Bessie over here so I could show your TV neighbor how we milk cows the old-fashioned way in the days of the West, the way the cowboys did. And yet,
oh, this will be fun to watch.
Mm-hmm. I think so, Fred. Can I call you Fred?
Please do.
I can call you Fred. You know, Fred, I've always wanted to have a neighbor just like
well,
you.
Well, now,
just like you.
You do, at least for the next few minutes or so.
Yee-hoo!
So, tell me, Pete,
yeah.
What are you doing exactly?
Well, Fred, I'm just squeezing her udders with my hands, see? But, much like Jane and Ann's machine.
I see. And this is Bessie?
Yes, Cherie. This is Bessie. She's a little shy, but she's probably one of my more friendly cows, so I thought I'd bring her over to say hello.
And she's letting us walk.
Yeah, she's not too shy, Fred. Here, would you like to squeeze the wheeze a bit, Fred?
Oh, you think I could?
Sure, why not?
Oh my. Pete's gonna let me squeeze the wheeze, as he put it.
Mm-hmm.
Do I just reach under here like this?
Yes, sir.
And
just give it a little tug there. A little tug.
And, oh. Would you look at that neighbor? Milk is shooting into the bucket.
Mm-hmm.
Just like Ann's milk and parlor machine.
Pretty much, Fred.
Oh, my. And she doesn't mind when I squeeze her udders?
Not at all, Fred. In fact, I think she kind of likes it even.
Would you look at that? She's really squirting. Isn't she?
You bet. She's squirting.
And how much will she fill in this bucket here, Pinecone?
Oh, I'd say at least up to the halfway mark there, that little line there, the bucket there.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
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 Sure. Sure. She likes to move, doesn't she?
Oh, yeah. She often moves.
Just like Jane's cows in the pasture.
Just like Jane's.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Pete, for letting me show my neighbor how you cowboys milk cows the old-fashioned way.
Anytime, Fred.
I'm going to join Jane again
and
let her show me and my neighbor how the milk gets bottled now.
Oh, that should be fun. Jane's a little shy, but she's lots of fun.
Yes, she is.
I tried to ask her out once, but she rejected me.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that, Pinecone Pete.
Oh, it's okay, Fred. We're still friends, and we're still really good neighbors.
Well, that's very special, isn't it,
Fred? Yes, it is, Fred. When a woman says no, it means no.
Can you at home say that? No?
try it.
No.
That's right. No.
Kind of sounds like a cow mooing, doesn't it, Fred?
It kind of does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
No. Moo.
No.
Jane, we had a good time over there.
No! Bar Kevin C. That's K-Bar.
So fast, so smart. The world's at your feet, but what about your heart? You don't.
Yes.
And how long does that take?
That'll take about 4 to 6 minutes.
I see. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. Down here I have one that's just done.
Oh.
She's completed milking.
Well, if that's finished, then where does that milk go?
This goes into a holding tank in the milk room. You shut one valve off here, put this one on, comes out the bottom, goes up into the glass tube up there.
I see.
And that goes out into the holding tank in the milk room.
Oh, could we see that?
Yes. Jane will show that to you.
Oh, good. Want to see the milk room?
We'll just go right up this way for it.
Thank you very much, Ann.
Yeah, thank you.
See you.
Bye. In here we have a stainless steel refrigerator.
This is a refrigerator?
Yes, it is. This keeps the milk cold in here.
And why does it need to do that? Just to hold it?
We need to keep it cold and hold the milk till we're ready to homogenize and pasteurize it over in the plant.
Uh-huh.
And then the next step would be to fill the bottle.
Oh, could we see that?
Oh, sure.
Good.
This is one of our bottling machines. The milk comes through these pipes into a large tank. Then it's measured out 1 gallon at a time into bottles that can be used again.
This whole thing must cost a lot of money, Jane.
Oh, it does. Equipment is very expensive.
The machine fills them up so fast?
It sure does. Now when they're filled, they have the caps put on.
That's fun to watch. What's the water for?
That keeps the bottles clean.
Sort of gives them a shower.
Uh-huh. Now Kevin puts the bottles into the carton and sends them into a room that keeps everything cold. Why don't we go take a look at that?
Okay.
Where we keep all the products.
The cooler?
The cooler. It's very cold in here.
It does feel cold. Look at all this milk. Wait a second, Jane. I'd like to show my friend something. Look at this. It's so cold in here that you can see your breath. Did you ever do that in the winter time when it was really cold outside?
Okay, Fred. Let's go to the next room. It's kind of cold in here.
Wait, Jane. Wait. I want to show my neighbor some more. Look. I can make smoke rings.
That's nice, Fred. Let's go. I'm getting cold.
Wait. Look, haven't you ever done that in the wintertime when you're standing outside and it's just so cold and you just make, you can see your breath. Look at.
That's nice, Fred, but it's freezing and I'm getting over a cold.
Wait, Jane. Look, I can shoot rings through another smoke. It's almost like you're smoking a pipe. Have your father ever smoke a pipe and shoot smoke rings in the air like this?
I'm freezing, Fred. Fred, let's get our ashes out of here.
No, wait. I want to try something. Wait, this is good. This will be good television. Wait, look, neighbor.
Now, then where do you take the milk after this?
The products go out here, outside this door, and we load the trucks in.
Can we see that?
Sure.
Good.
This is our loading dock where we load all the trucks.
Ooh, look at all this
Here's
milk.
Here's Tom loading his truck.
How do you do? Hi. he's putting milk on, but I see other things in there, too.
Yes, we carry many products here. We have eggs, butter, orange juice, cottage cheese, sour cream.
What a business you have. And you have lots of trucks and a lot of machinery, a lot of cows.
When you own your own business, it's very expensive, all those items.
I can imagine.
But it's very pleasing also.
Uh-huh.
I'm so glad you could come today.
Thanks, Jane.
Do you know I have to go back and get my clipboard? I left it at the milking parlor this morning.
Well, thanks for
helping me. I forgot all about
it.
It was nice seeing you, Fred.
Good to see you.
Bye-bye.
Oh, God, Anne, I thought I'd never get rid of that man. I know, I mean, Jane, he just talks your ear off, and he keeps saying such inane things all the time, like, oh, is that part of the cow? And he's pointing to a big glass jar. I know, he's really weird. Oh, and he's kept me in the freezer for like an hour, showing his breath to his TV neighbor, and, oh, I tell you, I thought we were going to freeze to death in there. The cameraman kept saying, cut, cut, with his throat, you know, that finger thing. Oh, I had to tell him I had my clipboard I left in the parlor here. That was a good idea. Oh, God. Anyway, I'm glad he lives on the other side of the neighborhood. Me too. Woo! You want to come to my place? Sure.
I like to go to interesting places like that.
Minutes at the top of the hour. How's your self-esteem?
Well,
not as
inflated,
not as good,
frankly, because
generational.
As a result,
you with
this
Mr.
Man,
Rogers,
this evil, evil man,
I
has now
not
ruined
evil.
A generation of kids.
And you know what? I'm with Captain Kangaroo. He was half a generation ahead.
That explains a few things, Steve.
Absolutely, because these experts are saying that the kids of today who grew up with Mr. Rogers were told by him, you're special, just for being who you are. Well, here's the problem. Gets lost in that whole selfish business, and the idea that being hard and having high patience for yourself, discounted. Mr. Rogers' message was, you're special because you do. He didn't say, if you want to be special, you're going to have to work hard, and now all these kids are growing up, and they're realizing, hey, wait a minute, Mr. Rogers lied to me. I'm not special. I'm trying hard, and I'm not getting anywhere.
And this comes out of Louisiana State University. A professor there has examined just what damage Mr. Rogers may have done to this whole crop of kids who now feel entitled just for being them. And what he says is, instead of telling them, you know, you're special, you're great, why didn't he just say, you know what, there's a lot of improvement. Keep working on yourself.
Yeah, the world owes you nothing if you're there. You got to prove it. So for now, all these people, these kids are going to college and say, okay, I got to be, I need an A. Because I'm special. And they go, no, you got to work hard for it. But actually, this is my generation. I think we're a hard-working generation. I'm worried about this upcoming generation.
You know what? There's some other information regarding this. And when you look at the American students from Asian countries who did not watch, according to the research, who did not watch Mr. Rogers, when they get a B or a C, they go, I got a B or a C. I got to work harder. Which is a little different than what
happened. Rather than blame professor.
Okay, but listen, we want to hear what you have to think. Do you think that Mr. Rogers was a force for good, or that he ruined a crop of our newest, youngest generation? Write in, let us know what you think, if Mr. Rogers telling everybody that they were really special was a good thing. Okay?
Mr. Rogers, evil genius, listen to you.
All right.
They did a study at a university, and they were trying to figure out, this one professor was trying to figure out, why is it at the end of every term, these kids who are on the bubble, they're going to get a C or they're going to get a B, they come in and they beg for extra so they can get an A. He is part of a chorus of people who say, blame Mr. Rogers, because Mr. Rogers had an optimistic message where everybody was special, even if they didn't deserve it, these experts
because
say.
Because the rap on this new generation is that they feel entitled, right? They all feel entitled to getting an A for a grade. So when there's a C, they go to the professor like, clearly you've made a mistake, where's my A? And so people are trying to figure out what's gone wrong with this generation. And this professor at Louisiana State University says, it's Mr. Rogers. He is the root cause of all of these problems.
Well, look, the world owes you nothing. You've been told that over and over again now, so you got to cut
That's
your own way. If you think you're special, well, go prove it. The signs of narcissism in this society has been growing for 25 years, and that man unintentionally did a whole generation or two a disservice.
Well, that's what this study says.
I back it.
Okay,
I don't. Look, your kids play t-ball these days. Everybody wins. Everybody
and
wins.
That makes Mr. Rogers, I'm sure, happy.
Everybody, well, maybe from heaven where he's watching us right now, where, you know, there's no incentive. Everybody's going to get the trophy. Everybody's going to get the
trophy. Everyone's got to wear a sweater.
Everybody wins.
Here's from Nancy in Lincoln Park. She emailed us, yeah, let's blame it on Mr. Rogers, not the parents who are trying to keep up with the Joneses and give their kids everything instead of making them work for it. Nancy, you're absolutely right. Why aren't kids taught more and more that if you want something in life, you're going to have to go get it?
All right, well, here's the other side. This is from Nancy Filliger. She says, I do believe that the combination of Mr. Rogers saying you are special and Sesame Street, you need to be entertained to learn, and Dr. Spock's lax discipline, no spanking, were three of the worst influences on child rearing.
You know, it would be better if we went to school, went home, and then made the butter, milked the cow, and made going to the loom, and made our own sweater.
It would be better for my household. If I could train my kids to do that.
Right. Instead of going to Macy's, make your own sweater. Almost done with the right sleeve. You stay indoors until I'm done.
I like that plan.
Butter.
Wow, Mr. Rogers, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, that was all from Fox News. And, you know, they try to be unbiased. And they say they just report and, you know, they don't put their opinions in. What do you make of all that? Well, Pancone Pete, I don't know. Can you say assholes? Yeah, Miss Rogers, I can say assholes. They just don't get it. I mean, I was just trying to help kids with their self-esteem. I mean, so many little children at such impressionable ages. It's very important to feel special, whether you're making straight A's or not, you know. And most of the kids I know were doing the best they could. I'm a little bit hurt.
I don't blame you, Mr. Rogers. I mean, boy, those Fox News people, they're assholes. Yeah, they are assholes. I'd like to say it again. Assholes. Assholes. Sure. Well, I'm gonna put my sweater on and go back to heaven now. I don't blame you, Mr. Rogers. We live in a funny world, a funny country, with funny news programs. Funny. I don't see what's funny about it.
It's a beautiful day in this neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? It's a neighborly day in this beauty wood, a neighborly day for a beauty. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? I have always wanted to have a neighbor just like you. I've always wanted to live in a neighborhood with you. So let's make the most of this beautiful day. Since we're together, we might as well say, would you be mine? Could you be mine? Won't you be my neighbor? Won't you please, won't you be my neighbor? Hi, television neighbor. I'm glad we're together again.
Why are you looking at me?
Let me ask you something about what we've been discussing for the last 3 hours. Mr. Rogers and the narcissistic society that he gave birth to because he told every kid that they were important, didn't have to earn their importance and their success, that they were important. Do you believe his philosophy destroyed a generation?
Here's my common sense answer. Okay. I think that Mr. Rogers, talking in general to an audience of kids on television saying you're special really didn't hurt many people. But it didn't help either compared to a child hearing from someone who knows them, like a parent or a teacher, about their specific special talents. That can help a kid.
Right. They need it. Sometimes kids need a little motivation. He was out there going, I'm going to put on my sweater and everybody's beautiful. You're going to be fantastic in life. We need a Tony Robbins in a clown outfit talking to kids.
I don't disagree that that was a watered down general message. That was his style. I just don't think it either hurt much nor did it help
much. All right. Now you got it from the doctor. Dr. Witkin says, Mr. Rogers.
They're assholes.
Hello. Hi. Do you want to go to a party with me? No. The game's on. Oh, I almost forgot. I'll be right there.
We like sports and we don't care who knows. From shooting hoops to the Super Bowl. We like sports and we don't care who knows.
Football. Tennis.
Hockey. Golf.
The game is starting. Everyone is here. I got my snacks, my friends, and a beer.
Just two normal guys hanging out, having fun. Right, guy number two?
Yeah, guy number one.
E
to the S
to the P
to the N is all I watch cause I'm the man.
If my team loses, I'll be mean all night. If you tell me to relax, we'll get in a fight.
Watching sports with girls is a pain. They don't know the rules, there's no time to explain.
Single,
double,
triple,
home run.
For the celebration, I'll shoot my gun.
I like my friend, he's a real guy's guy. He's not a loudmouth like that cunthole Steve.
We like sports and we don't care who knows. From Wimbledon
to the Astrodome.
We like sports and we don't care who knows.
Football, tennis,
hockey,
golf.
Now when I say sports, you say nuts. Sports,
nuts,
sports,
nuts. When I say cheating, you say sucks. Cheating,
sucks.
Cheating,
sucks. I drink whiskey cause I like the taste. You think it's bitter, but I think it's great.
I also drink whiskey and we smoke cigars. Don't believe me? Smell our cars.
We're real men and we like sports. If you say that we're not, then we'll see you in court.
I'm team captain and I choose you.
I'm the other team captain and I choose you too.
We steal the ball and we're off to the races.
Then scare the other team with our mad dog faces like
What? What?
We like sports and we don't care who knows.
From the pregame jokes
to the wrap-up show.
We like sports and we don't care who knows.
Football,
tennis,
hockey,
golf. Throw me the baseball.
Now toss me the pigskin.
Now feed me the rock.
Now give me the rock.
I was sitting at a Greyhound bus station, minding my own business, reading an old copy of Highlights for Children, when this businessman in a business suit with a business tie and a tight shirt, starched, sat next to me in those plastic, uncomfortable chairs. He starts talking to me as if he knew me. And I said, "You don't know who I am." And he said, "Yes, I do. You're Joe Frank, aren't you?" I said, "Not really. I'm Peter Gullerud, whatever." And he chuckled. He said, "How about those kids these days?" And I said, "How about them?" He pointed to the highlights. He said, "Those were the days, Gustav and Gandalf. Gandalf and Gallant, or whatever those two kids were, the twins, you know. One was a reprobate, and the other a clean-cut kid who always did the right thing." He said, I bet if they listen to Mr. Rogers, I bet Gustav, the clumsy one, the reprobate, the brat, the one who probably dealt meth later in his life, I bet he listened to Mr. Rogers all the time, telling him he was special. Mr. Rogers was really a bad influence for our generation. He was trying to tell me all this crap while I was trying to find an excuse to go to the restroom or catch a bus. But I was just there to make a recording. And he went on and on, and he started drooling, and all of a sudden I realized he wasn't a man at all. He was some kind of a Fox News junkie, I guess, and, well, I just leaned over to him and I whispered in his ear, "You're special too," and I walked away. But before I got out of sight, I could tell there was a glisten. A small tear rolled down his cheek. "Peter, if you're listening, you're special too." I think that's the end of Trail Mix tonight. You know what? Mr. Rogers is special. Very special. Good night. I'm gonna catch a bus to a train, and then another bus to a taxi to my apartment. And I'm not gonna drink alcohol or anything. I'm just gonna go to sleep. Maybe it's time we all did that. Maybe it's time I shut up. Yeah. Maybe I should just fade out. Yeah, that's probably a good idea.
Ladies and gentlemen, the best neighbor any of us has ever had. Fred Rogers. for giving generation upon generation of children confidence in themselves, for being their friend, for telling them again and again and again that they are special and that they have worth. It is my honor, on behalf of everyone here and on behalf of the millions of children whose mornings you have brightened with your kindness, to present you with this Lifetime Achievement Award.
Oh, it's a beautiful night in this neighborhood. So many people have helped me to come to this night. Some of you are here, some are far away, some are even in heaven. All of us have special ones who have loved us into being. Would you just take, along with me, 10 seconds to think of the people who have helped you become who you are? Those who have cared about you and wanted what was best for you in life. 10 seconds of silence. I'll watch the time. Whoever you've been thinking about, how pleased they must be to know the difference you feel they've made. You know, they're the kind of people television does well to offer our world. Special thanks to my family and friends and to my co-workers in public broadcasting, family communications, and this academy for encouraging me, allowing me all these years to be your neighbor. May God be with you.
This special trail mix tonight, folks, this is Panko Pete once more, is dedicated to, oh, what the heck, Joe Frank. You're special too, but especially to Fred Rogers, who is in heaven. And all kidding aside, folks, he was a gentle spirit who we all miss very much. Let's go through the playlist. Well, before, we just heard Mr. Rogers accept his Life Achievement Award at the Emmys some years back. We heard Incredibad. We heard Incredibad with We Like Sports. And before that, we heard an old Wax Cylinder recording, and it was the song In the Good Old Summertime, which we're getting ready for. Up here in the mountains, we had a little snow the other day, so we're ready for that, aren't we? Before that, we heard James Brown and How Do You Stop? And before that, we heard a little bit of Mannheim Steamroller playing behind some milking machines with Jane and what's her face? I think that was Anne and Jane, I believe. And before that, we heard the Mr. Rogers theme song. And lots of wonderful clips from Mr. Rogers visiting cows. Happy trails, everybody. Doggy dreamers. Tomorrow's another splitting breeze day. And you may be a mule hit cayuse, but we like you just the way you are. See you next week on Pinecone Radio. Stay tuned for Rural War Room. And at midnight, K-Bar and the Garage Ghost Band.
happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then. Who cares about the clouds when we're together? Just sing a song and bring the sunny weather. Happy trails to you till we meet again. Who cares about the clouds when we're together?
Just sing a song and bring the sunny weather.
Happy trails.